Well, I'm gonna try to stand up here all this time. If I don't, I guess I got a chair next to me, don't I?
One or two, right,
three or four. So it's good to know that we all are of one unit here, right?
Amen.
Nobody ought to be indifferent about anything that we stand for, because we all have the same common denominator, right?
Amen.
We do. And I'm grateful that we're all, just like the Bible says, how good and how sweet is it that brethren should dwell in unity, and that doesn't eliminate the ladies, right? So we know that the Lord has given us an opportunity to be able to open up the Word of God. I think there's too much food I ate here earlier. But it's good to know that the Lord wants us to all be able to share a common denominator. And you know, and I couldn't help but think about different guys like Brother Carl and Brother Dave and myself. You know, it ought to be collectively centered on the same theme and motivation, right? Just like, and I'm not trying to equate us with the apostles, you know, but nevertheless, they had a common denominator. They preached the same doctrine.
Amen.
And even though the Old Testament was far removed from the age of the New Testament, they still complement one another. And that's why, and I reiterate this again, which you've heard me say it before, God customizes a certain message in the Bible for you for that day, for that time.
Amen.
And that's why that we know the Lord is on our side. Fear not what man will do unto us.
Amen.
No matter what kind of climactic events take place in this whole United States, we know the Lord is on our side.
Amen.
And they might slit my throat, but I know that they can't destroy my soul. And
that's
only one thing God has given us. One of the things God has given us is a confirmation. Well, let's go ahead and go into a message here this afternoon. And we'll turn to Matthew. I believe that's where my main text is. As long as my daughter didn't lose my notes out of my Bible, she carried it openly. It's one of these zip-up type. Here it is right here. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 33. Oh, let's just go with 37. I don't know. They all joined together down to 42. And I want to bring a message on deception. And brother, that is a big issue today, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Deception's everywhere you look.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what it is. Satan will oppose it, if it's of God, that is. So let's look at 13:39. Before we do, let's have God's invoking blessing to be upon the message. Lord Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to be able to come before you here this afternoon, that we might be able to glean off the scriptures, because it's not what is important that comes out of my mouth, but what comes out of the Word of God through my mouth. And I just pray that you use me to be a blessing here this afternoon, that we might be able to know that you're in charge and you want us to glean from the scriptures, to take elements of what will be brought forth. And we know our minds are very leaky. We will dismiss a lot of things that are said here this afternoon, even here this morning, because our minds are leaky. But we just pray, Lord, that you'll stamp indelibly upon our minds and help us to be able to take it to heart what we're going to be able to practice this week, to be able to be a blessing to others. And that's all we're here for, is to be a blessing, an encouragement, and a honoring type of lifestyle to live for you. And we ask all this to be for your honor and glory through the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at verse 36. Then Jesus sent them away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, "Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." Now, to you younger ones, does everybody know what tares are? You do? You do? Everybody? Tares is no more than a piece of weed. Doesn't amount to much, does it? Weeds are to be plucked up, aren't they? And thrown in the trash can. Especially these big old thistles that grow in our backyard in Beatrice. We don't want those things around. So we throw not only the weed, but we try to pull them up by the root and chop the heads off and burn them. Why? Because they will infester the whole entire yard if you let them grow, right? And so that's, I want to preface all that about a tare of the field. And he answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the what? The wicked one. Who's the wicked one? Satan himself. He does not want to be cast out, and the Lord allows him to stay here for a purpose. And the purpose, sometimes we wonder, why is all this wickedness taking place? It drives us on our knees, does it not? Just like an old boy that's supposed to be saved that he said in the past, the Lord does this to see what we will do. And I think that this business with this COVID business, yeah, just even my daughter, my eldest daughter would say, Dad, it's a drill to see what we will do. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
To
right.
See what we will do. And so I want to look at some things here, some topics in verse 39. And it says, the enemy, we want to look at the enemy, the harvest, and the reapers. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. So the just like Brother Dave said, our worst enemy is the devil, no doubt. But he puts bad thoughts in our minds and to activate on the flesh. And the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So the harvest is out there. We just need to go get more harvest, right? And get. When we were down to Kansas here not long ago, all kinds of wheat out there. And I told Brother Jordan, which I went fishing with him, I said, those fields look like they're really golden white. And I said, they need to be picked, don't they? And you know, this world is out here to be picked and plucked
right.
So that we might be able to see more. That's the only thing we can take to heaven with us, isn't it? Yeah. Outside of course, our works done for the Lord, of course. And let's read a couple, three more verses. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, and so shall it be in the end of the world. Men shall be burned into hell if they do not know the Lord. That's a terrible, terrible thing. Doth not the God of this universe do right, though? He does. We say to ourselves, how can a loving God send somebody to a devil's hell forever and ever and ever? That'll blow your mind, won't it? It does mine. But yet, it doesn't say the Lord is the fault there. It's the people's sin. Of course, that's what we must look at. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom and all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Offend and do iniquity. Plenty of that today. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. People just don't comprehend what actually hell is going to be about. Weeping and gnashing of teeth forever and ever and ever. Terrible, terrible place. Well, I'm going to go into a message on the danger of deception. If I tempted you, you would know it. And if I accused you of something, you would know it. But if I deceive you, you wouldn't know it. As far as in respect of if you knew that you were being deceived, of course. Like I would say to, just like the Bible talks about giving a fish instead of, giving a serpent instead of a fish to an individual, your children it talks about, would they be deceived? No, because they would know. Like a TV program that was a bizarre thing, a guy was out in the desert, and he was showing how that he was going to survive in the desert. And he chopped off of a tail off of a scorpion and put it in his mouth and ate it. Would you do that, Elizabeth? I don't think so. Would that be a deception? Sure it would. I'd say, I want to give you a good piece of meat. And I gave you a scorpion. It would be deception, wouldn't it? And you look at it and you say, no, that's not a piece of meat. It is a scorpion. And that's what brought to mind about the Lord saying that there's people that are deceived. Well, I'm going to hurry up and go into some things here. Eve was deceived, and she believed a lie. She knew she was being deceived, but yet she believed a lie. They went in there in the garden and plucked the tree that the Lord told her not to, and she was deceived. There's a lot of people today that are being deceived, and right. They know it, but they go headlong into it. And I know of even some people that should know better that has been deceived. Sure, the coronavirus, it is a pandemic, it is a disease, it is a problem, no doubt about it, and we don't want it. But yet, should we walk in fear and be deceived by the government trying to control us? And that's exactly what they're doing. They're controlling us. Let's look at John, the 17th chapter. St. John, not 1 John, but St. John, 17th chapter, at verse 17. Sanctify them through thy faith, and thy word is truth. Sanctified, set apart. We are Christians that are set apart from this wicked world, and we want to know what is truth and what is error. And that's why the Spirit of God will give us discernment between that which is good and evil. And as the interpretation of the Genesis talks about, how that she was deceived, Eve that is, and then of course Adam went headlong right along with it. And so he was not deceived, but he knew the truth, but he went right along with the popularity of his wife, right? Isn't that the way a lot of Christians are? Brother Kevin and I were talking about going along with the things of the world today. And there's so many people that are going along with the things of the world, and they're being willfully ignorant and be deceived, aren't they? We must know the truth. The truth will set us free.
Amen.
Let's look at another one here. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Very fitting scripture pertaining to the vulnerability of our human flesh as Satan will try to deceive us and distort the things that we know is right, but we, for instance, TV, very, very, very subversive in its attacks from the devil sometimes. And it is wrong to be watching certain things.
Right.
But you know what? You don't have to go to the lakes to find nudity, do you? You sure don't. You can go anywhere. It doesn't matter where you're going. Because just as I was talking to somebody here the other day, whenever it was, maybe it was Brother Carl, I'm sure. Back when I was graduating high school, in my annual, I looked at it the other day, and every one of those women wore dresses. How about today? What do they wear in the public schools today? Shorts, anything goes, doesn't it? Holy pants, you name it. If I'd go to the school with a holy pants when I was a younger guy, I'd be an outcast, you know that? Today it's the end thing, to wear shorts, wear holy jeans, whatever it might be. It is a deception. So, let's see, about forgot where I'm at here. The 10th chapter, at verse 5. We all know this one. Most of this we do, but it bears repeating. Let's look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That is what we want to look at here, the strongholds of the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil are strongholds, and we need not to be off guard and be deceived, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Boy, doesn't that need to be reiterated over and over and over and over in our minds every day?
Right.
Casting down imaginations. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and your mind just goes way out there into all kinds of stuff that you don't know why you're even thinking about it? Why? Because your minds are susceptible in the middle of the night, which I've made that statement before. So we deceive ourselves when we think that we are wise in this age. And one of my other favorite verses here that I've memorized in the past is, let's look at it, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is... Young kids, you ought to memorize this one. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Right there it is, the power of God, but some, they think it's foolishness. I talked to a guy here not long ago, pertaining to the Bible, and he was more or less, he wasn't really mocking the Bible, he was just saying he was a Catholic and his wife was a Methodist. What a combination, huh? I used to be a Methodist. Didn't get a whole lot, but I got a little bit out of the religiosity, you might want to say, from the Methodists. They used to be more staunch, definitely, than they are today, which anything goes nowadays. So people can be deceived in all ages. So this is a profound statement. Not my own, but somebody else's. It is the height of an intellectual arrogance to assume wisdom without the revelation of God. Let me read that again. It is the height of intelligent and intellectual arrogance to assume wisdom without the revelation of God. And that's why that the unsaved people today, they do not know the wisdom of God. They don't have, many of them, the inkling of God, what's going on. But I give old What's-His-Face a little bit of credit, the old Mormon, Glenn Beck. He's got some truth there, but it's mixed in with a little bit of error, is it not? Yeah. And I won't go into all that. But nevertheless, some unsaved people, they can have wisdom, but yet you got to filtrate that out. So professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, as it talks about that. Romans, the first chapter, of course. I tell you what, let's just read that one. I'll read about three verses here. Romans 1 at 22. Professing themselves to be wise and become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible, God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping thing. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, and changed the truth of God into a lie. There it is right there. They changed the truth of God. They're doing it all throughout the school systems that we live in today. Right. They're changing it all the time. We used to have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which my wife come into a little bit of a, there she says, a little bit of a conflict with a neighbor that walked by. And he got so boisterous, I could even hear him when I was in the house, pertaining to, what was it that he was bringing about school teaching? He said, I've been school teacher for, what did he say, 50 or 60 years, something like that? And he said, they still have the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and tried to stand up for the public schools. Well, you can stand up. Some of them might say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, but very few today, I hear anyway. I don't know about it down here. I really don't. I don't know too much about the public schools here. But nevertheless, changing the truth of God into a lie, professing themselves to be wise, and it happens all the time, and it's not good at all. So, there's a guy that in the past went to Africa and even South America, which I've been to South America in three different countries, and they are very superstitious, very superstitious. One of the people down in Bolivia, they believed that you could put a small llama, which would just barely born, underneath the house, and it would keep away the evil spirits. The only thing it would keep me away would the stench, wouldn't it? So we know that doesn't keep anything away other than the logical-headed people. And so this guy said that the actual incantations, if you want to put it that way, of the cultic dancing led by rock music, and that's what one of the deceptions today is, rock music, that it led these people into their dancing, eventually led them into orgies, and led them into other ridiculous type of worship, as they want to call it, worship down there in that country, various different countries down that way. As in Colombia, Lima, Peru, and also Cochabamba, Bolivia. And they all were superstitious. So this is the kind of music that can be bringing us down, and it did me. When I got saved, I had records. In those days, I didn't have any CDs or any of that kind of stuff. So I took my my records and I threw them in the trash can and burned them. Why? Because it draws us out into, draws away from God. That's all there is to it. And it was definitely drawing me away, and I knew it. And it kind of reminds me of, and I've said this before, I'll make a quick statement about this, my stepfather. He went to a house and spoke to this woman, and she said, I'm troubled, I'm perplexed, I'm definitely discouraged. Was there anything in your house that you've been hiding that you would not like for people to see? Well, she said, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this, but it's the Ouija board. And she knew it was wrong. And my stepfather went in the background, she went out in the back room, I guess it was, and pulled it out, and brought it to his side. And so he put it in the trunk, and his wife, Maxine, about had a fit, because she didn't want anything to do with the Ouija board. And he took it home, threw it in the trash can, and burned it. And he said there was the awfulest noise coming out of that barrel because he was burning the Ouija board. Well, Ouija board's nothing more than a satanic practice.
Amen.
We all know that. What I'm saying is that rock music will lead us astray. A guy named Bob Larson. Any of you guys ever remember Bob Larson? I thought you did. Well, he was a very prominent rock music star, and he had millions of dollars that he got because of his music that he was playing. And one day, he became so discouraged and so distraught and troubled that he, and his parents were Christians, and they prayed for him all the time. And some of you that have unsaved relatives and even kids, you know what I'm talking about. You pray for them all the time that they would come to know the Lord. Just like my eldest son and I, or that I pray for him all the time. But he had parents prayed for him, and he got so discouraged, he went into a little small church. I don't know where he was raised up at. And he got gloriously saved, miraculously saved. And he wouldn't even take the guitar, the electric guitar that he was using for his productivity of the millions of dollars that he got from these rock stations, that he said, I'm not having anything to do with that guitar anymore. And he got rid of it. And he went to these, they still were after him to go into these rock stations, in other words, music, the radio stations. And he went in there and gave a clear-cut testimony how he was getting rid of his rock music, and he gave his life to Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something? I don't know about any of you, but when I was into that, it made me discouraged. I didn't even know why I was discouraged. I was discouraged. Of course, other things, I don't get into that. But sin is a reproach to any people. So this man named Bob Larson got gloriously saved and went into, he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Where do you think that saying come from? And the Lord told him, get into my word, get into my word. I don't know about when you got saved, but I got into God's word and I couldn't leave it alone. I had to take it wherever I went. And I had my little New Testament Bible with me. I stuck it in my pocket. Even my lunch break when I used to work in Grand Island there, I would read my Bible and people say, what are you getting out of that Bible? Nevertheless, Bob Larson became an evangelist and began to preach the gospel. I didn't know that. No, they didn't. What I'm saying is they come to him later on and they said, would you come and play and mix your music, your Christian music, or I think it was Christian music. That's what they said. Can you mix your Christian, I mean your rock music they used to play with the Christian music today? He said, no, it's nothing but muddy, filthy water, he said. No way you can get anything out of this music, this rock music that's been in the past. He says, I will not. And they made mockery of him and tried to make a fool out of him. Why? Because he's preaching the Word of God. He was not going to be deceived. And you know, even Christians today can be deceived. I want to go into a few things here that like some music excerpts that maybe you have heard of them. I've only selected maybe one or two out of here. Making a Pact with the Devil is one of them. Some of these titles and themes. People with smiling faces that hide the evil that dwells within. You know who I think about? I think about The Doors that say that. You ever hear that song? If you've ever been into that kind of listening to the music. People with smiling faces. And I lost my soul in 68. I called on the name, and I'll be there and grant your wish. It's another one of them. Another one. Drag that, what some of them say, that they had the Beatles equated with Christianity, and say the Beatles are more effective than Christianity, and Christianity will go into obscurity. About the Beatles. You ever hear that statement? I have. And we are our own saviors, another one. Witches in the woods. I'm not quite sure where that lyrics come from. God of the Mornings, another one. Another one that I used to play, Black Sabbath. Hmm. I see a few smiling faces back there. You know what I'm talking about. Black Sabbath, and I could go on and on about this, but these words were constituted a code to hide, to keep the real meaning from the uninitiated people that had their eyes blinded. Like backmasking. Most of you have heard about backmasking and how that it's disguised with the, and they turn it the other way around, and it has messages in that backmasking on those records. Sickening, isn't it? Why do Christians allow this to take place? Because they're duped. They do not know many times. They do not know. So people attacked Bob Larson for going against their rock music. And you know, even people say that it's possible to have rock Christian music. I say, no, I said that to my brother. None of you know my brother, my youngest brother. And boy, he come unglued. He didn't want to hear that. He really didn't. I guess Brother Dave knows him. I can't say that. I'm not trying to muddle him at all. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that rock music cannot be mixed with Christian music. It just can't be.
Right.
And it's on the radio. It really is. It's not just the words, but it's the beat. The beat. Down in South America also, I'm making an illustration here. The Lord did it all the time. I don't know why I can't, right? They're in this neck of the woods where they're just aborigines or whatever they were, and they would have a missionary come in, and he would take, now he was not much of a missionary, must not have been, because he brought in his rock music to these people, and he was playing this. And one of the chiefs in that tribe said, you know what? The music that you're playing is exactly, well, they didn't say exactly, but in type, like the music that we have in the past. And this native got saved anyway prior to the statement. He said that this kind of music has been in my tribe in the past to conjure up the demons from the deep. Conjure them up. So why should we allow even a little bit of an increment? Oh, and by the way, they had this also an illustration, which I think I've given this before. But they had a dog that was to come to the food at a certain beat, and this dog would come to his food dish, and they'd do this over and over again for months. And then they'd have another dog over here that would come to a certain beat over here. Now, beat has a big influence on music. Right?
Right.
And so they got the beats mixed up, and these dogs went crazy. They couldn't tell what was going on about which food dish that they should go to. They just went bonkers. And what more does it do to us? That beat goes contrary to the beat of your heart, and you become disillusioned, and you become deceived in the long run because of the rock music. Let's turn to a scripture here about seducing spirits. 1 Timothy 4:1. Good thing I got this podium to lean on. I don't know why I'm having a hard time. Here it is. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, we're living that today, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. I know Kevin and I were talking about people getting worse and worse all the time. He said it's not that the conservative Christians are pulling the unsaved liberals their way, but the others are going the other way. In other words, we got to be careful ourselves about being deceived by various different things that even come on the news about political things that are out there as we might think is the truth. All right, let me go on to a few things here that are deceptive before we run out of time. There are words that constitute a code, like I said, to hide the real meaning behind all that. And then rainbow. Most of us know about the rainbow sign, right? And I guess it was a song at one time, but rainbow is not only a song, but is a particular insignia and a prominent insignia on posters. And huge groups of drug cults, satanic communisms, and different ones have used the rainbow. And of course, we know out of the scripture, it is a good sign that the Lord will not destroy the world again by a flood. But they've distorted it and misconstrued it and turned it around for the homosexuals and other satanic groups. But the world, they don't know these things, right. And that's why they're deceived. Also, let's look at 1 Corinthians 2:16 about the importance of leaning only on God's understanding, not ours. Because in the days past, I would have thought this is just a deception because I didn't have the mind of Christ, for one thing. And neither did you, I'm sure. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Isn't it good to know that you have the mind of Christ, that you want to go right and do right and follow the Lord in his directions? You know, sometimes the scripture seems to be mundane, and pretty soon it'll slap you in the head, boy, and say, this is what you need. You need to understand this, and the Lord will customize it for you at that certain time. We deceive ourselves when we think that our religion, let's look about this, about religion. You know, religion can be good or it can be bad, right? Let's look at James, the first chapter, at verse 26. And if any man among you seemeth to be religious, and the word is religious here, and bridle not his tongue, but deceive our own hearts, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion, undefiled, I want to just read that next one, before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So, it is important to know that we can have the proper way of thinking, the improper, but if we think of ourselves more high than we ought to think, the Bible says, let one esteem the other better than themselves. And so many people walk around thinking that they're better than others and saying that their religion is the right way to go. You run into them all the time. If you witness at all, you know that they want to say, my religion is better than so-and-so's, and I do better than he does and she does, and etc., etc. But we know the Lord wants us to not be deceived by these things. Let's look at Ephesians 4:29. Brother Dave alluded to the fact on this about mouthing people. Boy, that's one of the biggest sins that man has ever conjured up in their sinful mind, is deceiving, being deceived by saying that so-and-so is not what they need to be, and I need to correct them. Let's take a look at Ephesians 4:29. One of my favorite verses is 4:30 and 31. Well, let's look at 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed. I use that as an eternal security verse. We are sealed from the day that we ask Christ into our hearts.
Amen.
And there's many people that don't look at it that way. They don't want to see. There's a sealing. Kind of like my wife or maybe Shelley or whoever, you women that have done any canning, you put that in hot water to do what? Purify it, I guess? I don't know for sure why you put it in hot water. But you put a lid on it, and then when it cools off, what does it do? It sucks that lid down, doesn't it? And seals it up. And no moisture, no bacteria or anything can get into that can, or that jar, I should say. And that's the way it is with us, that we are sealed into the day of redemption. But the biggest verse here is that we need to know that there is importance of being control in our mouth. No corrupt communication will proceed out of your mouth. You say, I don't say any bad words. I don't use this and that and the other to destroy anybody. But the next thing you know, you find yourself gossiping. You say something that shouldn't be said. And pretty soon you feel bad about it. Why is that? The Holy Spirit will convict us, won't He? And He'll tell us that we should not be using that. Well, there was a woman named Kate. She was a Katie, I guess it is. C-A-T-E, I guess it would be Katie, or it might be Kate. But she was deceived. And her sister had led her to the Lord in the days past. And lo and behold, after a period of time, whatever it was, she ended up living a lesbian lifestyle with a friend of hers. And she came to her sister, Katie came to her sister and said, I thought you said that you were a Christian. Yes, I'm a Christian. Well, how can you live this kind of a lifestyle and call yourself a Christian? She couldn't understand it. And we as saved people, we don't understand a lot of things that people do, and they claim to be Christians, don't
right.
they? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:9. That just puts a caption on it. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulteresses, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And I'll just stop right there. Reminds me of the time that we were over visiting my oldest daughter there in Illinois, and my two grandkids, and Jesse and Rena, they looked out the window and they saw a woman, he thought, that had a dress on. And pretty soon that individual bent down and showed their underwear. Well, after all, it wasn't a woman, it was a man with a dress on. Effeminate, crazy people walking around like that. And even on different programs here and there across the country, people are not ashamed to come out of the closet. But back when I was out of high school, it was a wicked, wicked, wicked thing. And it still is wicked, isn't it?
Right.
And we know that these kind of people are not going to make it if they do not trust the Lord as their Savior.
Right.
Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So this sister of Katie, she thought she was a born-again Christian. Is it possible for a person to fall into sin like that? We had an individual from Dayton, Ohio, come up and visit us on the Canadian border in the past. And I thought he was a little bit strange, but I didn't think a whole lot about it. Come to find out later, he was a homosexual. But he was part of their church. I don't know if the man ever got saved or not, or whether he was even saved or not. But it can happen to anybody. When I got out of the military, I was approached by a guy there in California. Well, not really got out, but I was in the military at the time. And he was a homosexual. They're inundating this country, are they not?
Right.
And it's getting worse.
Yeah, right.
Well, the only way we can counteract that and go against these kind of people is to show them the Word of God.
Amen.
To not be deceived, because Satan is the author of it. So we are deceived when we think that we continually associate with bad company. How about you? Anybody here say that they got into bad company and were deceived when you were unsaved? Oh, yes. I've talked to several of you guys to know exactly that you can be deceived. But when we're a Christian, we can be deceived too. We've got to be careful about all this. Let me just open up just a little bit of a can of worms here a minute, if you don't mind the personal illustration. When we come back off the Canadian border, and I was down here in Grand Island, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law at the time, they had a sin, and they said, here, you want to drink some of this pop? I said, sure, I'm thirsty. It was a dry summer. So I began to nip on that. Thought, well, that's a little strange tasting. But I didn't think a whole lot about it until I drank about half of it and found out it had alcohol in it. It was wine coolers. I never knew anything about wine coolers in the days past because it just was coming on the market, I guess. I was deceived.
Right.
Deceived. And so many people, they get caught up in alcohol, and that is the biggest ploy the devil has today, is alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, of course, drugs go right along with it. That's why our penitentiaries are full, and it's sickening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to not be deceived. Now, I want to close with one last scripture here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. One last one, and I probably better sit down. 15:33. And this is very short. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. Boy, that hits me home. How about you? I speak this to your shame. Is he speaking to the unsaved here? No. He's speaking to us that are born again. We need to know the Lord wants us to be able to speak out. And Brother Kurt, I know he speaks out. And boy, there was a lot of people in that store over at Denton the other day. But I could only stand so long there without even with a cane, I get wobbly. But as far as handing people out tracts, there's all kinds of opportunities to give out tracts. I'm sure he didn't mind me handing out tracts. We know that we can hand out these tracts, and some of you do. But you know what? We don't always think about giving them out. I'm guilty. I don't always think about pulling a tract out of my pocket and handing it out to some gas attendant or grocery store individual or wherever it might be. We must know this is to our shame that they are deceived. So the biggest corruption, even as Brother Dave had spoke here this morning service, we are our own worst enemy. And we can improve on our service for the Lord by saying, I don't want to be deceived, Lord. I want your truth. And the truth will set me free.
Amen.
And we can be free indeed if the Lord will, if not if he does, if we do, listen to what he's got to say to us. Let's bow our head in the word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to be able to go through this day, and we know that each and every word that's been spoken from your eternal word will leave an impact if we just take it to heart. Help our minds to be able to absorb these truths here today, not just now, but here today, and be able to take it out into highways and hedges and give out tracts and speak to people for their yearning for the truth. Some, that is, and some are oblivious to the actual truth that they should be hearing. So we just pray, Lord, that you'll help us to be able to improve our serve by not being deceived so we can give your word out to those that are deceived and that we might know that you're in full control of what we do in the Spirit. So fill us with your Spirit and help us walk in the Spirit of truth and not the spirit of the flesh or the world or the devil, that we might please you in what we do. Give us a good week and help us to be able to be conscientious that our minds are very leaky and we want to memorize verses and let it be stayed upon our hearts that we might not sin against you, and to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
We'll praise you for these things. And we'll praise you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.